Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of February 5, 2023. This weekend we take time to celebrate our 30th anniversary here in Marshalltown and the history of how we started.
I remember having an office downtown, remember? And we had to rent space, an office space downtown.
It started before we were official. We started in the Senior Citizen Center. And that was a great experience there. And then we thought we'd really made an upgrade when we moved to the YMCA and had a much bigger space. But you know what? Even that was kind of exciting because we had so many people that were being a part of it. They each had a role. Without them, you could not have done it. So there had to have a huge crew of people that were a part of the setup every weekend. And you know what? I think that that's part of the legacy of New Hope, that there has always been a place for everybody that wanted to serve. There was a place for them.
In the early days, a lot of unknowns, you know, it was kind of scary in a sense. Everybody had to pitch in because there were so many things that needed done. You know, we were starting from scratch in a sense, and really from all facets of church. So people did step up and fill the gaps that needed filled. So I think that was a true testament of really what the church is.
For us, I think it was great because we had just moved here. We needed community, we needed friends.
We were new to Iowa. We had been in Texas for 9 years, and it was our connection point. It was where we could jump into the community as a whole and get to know people. So it was just a great place to get to know Marshalltown.
I was about 10 years old when we broke ground on this building, and it was so exciting to have something new. People were excited. We were growing. It was time to not be renting somewhere else and have a place that we could call, you know, New Hope our own. And it, you know, as we've added on throughout the years, each phase has been even more exciting.
We just absolutely fell in love with New Hope the very first Sunday that we came. It just was like, it was an instant connection for both of us. People were just so warm and welcoming and friendly to us. Norma Sturtz, who didn't know me from anybody, opened up her arms and gave me a big hug, and I thought, okay, I'm home.
Well, it was shortly after we got in the building that we realized that we were growing, and growing faster than the space would allow us. You know, I had a junior high class we met in the kitchen, and we met in every room we had available. We met in the offices of the pastors because we just needed all that space taken up. So we decided to add to the building, and there's two things. One, we were going to add a debt-free. So we built an addition on debt-free in the late 90s. And the cool thing about that is we poured the foundation. And as we poured the foundation, we came out and prayed over that foundation, and we had people write scriptures on the concrete for us to remember as we went forward. And added to the building, and we've used it really well ever since.
Yeah, we had so much fellowship that took place, you know. Choir practice was on a Sunday night, and after choir practice, we would go to somebody's house. I mean, we're talking 30-plus people would go to somebody's house for pizza. This was late, we're getting late Sunday night, and there was such a good fellowship, and everybody had kids. We were all about the same age. Not only did their kids know our kids, but they also knew the adults. And the nice thing is now that those young people who grew up are now in their 30s and 40s, and they relate to all of these other adults who are our age, just like their best buds, and that's kind of cool.
Through the years, we've had lots of opportunities for teaching, starting out with just being in the nursery with our youngest daughter, through attending her class as she was getting older, and then being a teacher's assistant, and then being a teacher, and basically have been teaching for a lot of years.
Well, I remember, I believe it was back in the 90s period, when they added on what they called the education wing, the classrooms, the chapel, the youth rooms down on this end. And it was exciting because the growth of the congregation needed more space. And it was fun to see the building expand. When they poured the floors, the cement floors to build on and laid out the rooms, they asked all the members to go to the various rooms and write on the floors, write scriptures, write well wishes to the construction workers to let them know, to encourage them, and that they were being prayed for and that the purpose of the building was for God's glory. And
I remember and really smile when I think about the time when all the Sunday school rooms were completed. The construction was almost completely done except for it needed flooring, and of course everything needed to be painted. So there was a crew, oh, I bet there was 30 or 40 of us that came out and had our paint pans and our rollers and our grubby clothes, and we just painted away all day, and it was just so much fun. And I remember when it was all done, just having such a wonderful sense of being a part of it and being a part of what New Hope was doing and growing and being a light to the community. So it was fun.
We joined the New Hope family in 2004. And when we got here, it was like we hit the ground running because the church was growing like crazy. At that point in time, we had, I think, 800 people were attending worship. We had 315, I think, was the average for Sunday school. All the rooms were full, and there was just so much going on. We had a purpose-driven life campaign that the church was doing, and so we were trying to get everybody in small groups, and it was just crazy around here, but it was exciting.
Oh, to think about what the community was of New Hope at that time was really pretty interesting, because I remember thinking, just moving into the community, we talked about let's visit some other churches, and we just kept coming back. I think we felt welcomed each week. It seems like there was always stuff going on for us to get involved in, and I don't know how many, it might have been 6 weeks, 8 weeks or so, and we were still talking about, is kind of wondering, is this our church home? And I was like, well, we never go anywhere else, so yes, this is our home. So, you know, here we are, 14 years later, still calling it home, still loving it, still loving the opportunities.
I have so many fond memories, specifically from middle school and high school, of all of the different activities that we did. I have more memories of the church doing things together, I think, than I do of, you know, Sunday worship services. So when the youth group, we did different mission trips. We went to South Dakota. After my senior year of high school, we went on a mission trip to Ecuador. We did CIY in Colorado. I remember a group going to Nebraska Christian College for their GORF event. There was always something that we were doing as a youth group, as a church body.
Well, seeing our kids grow up in New Hope's really pretty amazing, because they learned the Bible. They learned who Jesus was. They learned that Jesus loved them. And it's been exciting to see them grow and mature in love with Him, and to see them now as adults going to church and raising their kids. I think New Hope's been a key part of that. And it's not only my family, but a lot of families I've seen that their kids have gone from learning the Bible to now raising their kids in the church as well. It's been exciting.
My kids have lifelong friendships because of this church. So, you know, it's just, I guess, some offshoot of, you know, being involved in the church and your kids being, you know, growing up within the church. So it's just a great thing to see. And, you know, Amanda was one of them, you know, the Yuck family, all the kids, our kids grew up together. So, and as well as many others. So, yeah, it's just been great to see.
One thing that I've loved about being here at New Hope is that we have been touched by so many other lives and impacted by other people. And there's been, you know, just different seasons in our life that have seen people come, we've seen them go. But those connections that we've made, you know, in many cases, they're still there and they're strong even today. And it doesn't even seem to matter if if they're in Washington or if, you know, they're in Nashville or if they're here in Marshalltown. Because, you know, we're part of a family, and I think that's very important.
Everybody reaches a stage or a point in their life where they don't know where to turn to for hope, for help. And when we were looking at coming up with a name for the new church, it was just like a unanimous thing. I mean, I don't know who said it for sure, but when the name New Hope came out, it was like it just resonated with everybody, and it was like, that's it.
I feel New Hope has always had a heart for missions. In some of the early days when I first started on the team, we were talking about raising up missionaries and wanting to do that. And I think this is just a great kind of story that we've had is praying for missionaries and from our congregation growing up and saying, okay, we want to send you guys out, you know, not knowing who that was going to be. The missions team prayed about that, and they still do. We set money aside for that to send out couples, families, individuals, whoever. And shortly after I became a part of the missions team, we had three families at that time, we've had more since, say, hey, we're ready to go. And I remember conversations of being wondering, just kind of being in awe of that happening.
I just love seeing my kids form relationships with kids at the church. You know, a kid came up to me last week, he's like, hey, Gavin's coming to that, right? And Annika, is she here? It's so cool to see my history with the church now being reflected in my own kids. And they are excited to be here. They're excited for their friendships that they have here. I love that they're getting that seed in their lives now that was also given to me. I'm very grateful for that. I love seeing my kids love the Lord. My son was baptized a year and a half ago, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that we have had as a family here at New Hope.
I always get excited about the future, the new growth that's happening, and seeing new families, and seeing young families bring their the young kids come, and being an old guy, it's like, man, I remember that. And then, you know, just same time, I see new things happening, and so I'm excited about that we're not just a church of just, man, we've done this way forever. This is the way it's going to be. I love that, hey, worship's going to be a little bit different this Sunday because of this is what we need to do this Sunday, and this is where God has led it and putting it together. So if it's a little bit different, so be it.
Every person God brings into our life and every experience He gives us is the perfect preparation for the future that only God can see. And I think that's true of the church. Every season, whether we were at 300 or 800, whether we're at 200, whether we're in a pandemic, every season, every person, every staff person, every elder, every volunteer, ministry leader, every one of them, God put here for a purpose at a time. And I think all of them together have laid that foundation that's going to take us right on into the future.
Thank you. Wow, that was awesome. And you realize how much it requires teamwork to do anything of significance. I want to thank all of those who had a part in decorating and getting this place ready, planning the program. And all of you, as I see and faces from the past, some of the history that was talked about, we're a team. And that's why God has done so many things. And I would be amiss not to mention my wife. She has been such an integral part of New Hope for so long, and does what she does without worry about receiving credit for it. So thanks to all of you. So it was over 32 years ago when a group of people started meeting at the Senior Citizen Center on State Street. It's no longer there. After 2 months, as was mentioned on the video, we graduated to worship at the Y, where we spent 2 years. And I remember week after week, people would come early on Sunday morning. A dedicated crew of volunteers would hang banners up around that walking track up above the gym, set up the chairs and the staging and the sound equipment and all that went with it, the classrooms. And anywhere from, I don't know, 150 to 200 people every week would gather there in the gym, in the classrooms, and transform that Y into sacred ground. As we opened the Word of God, and lives were transformed. You know, I got two different numbers, 135 people that signed the charter membership. I also have 153. That's the problem. As we get older, we forget what those numbers are sometimes. But to how many of you were charter members? You signed that. Raise your hand. Can I see your hands? Wow, that's significant. God bless each of you. Of particular note, and I don't remember what year it was the Palm Sunday. Okay? The Sunday before Easter, Jesus and his disciples are in full costume observing the Last Supper in the Y gym. You got the picture with me? To many of our children who were at the Y at the time, the fire alarms, the red fire alarms around the Y must have seemed like forbidden fruit there in the Garden of Eden. Nobody knows for sure whose kid pulled the fire alarm. We are certain it was a descendant of Adam and Eve that... It's a pity we didn't have cell phones at that time. We could have filmed the hilarious video of the fire trucks coming to the Y, their sirens blaring, all while Jesus and his disciples fled the Y building along with the rest of his followers at the same time. It was so funny. Groundbreaking for this facility was in March of 1992. After 10 months of construction, New Hope Christian Church held our first worship service in this facility 30 years ago, January of 1993. Now, sometimes it's hard to grasp, so let me give you some perspective here. 30 years ago, Bill Clinton was sworn in as the 42nd president of the United States. 30 years ago, the average price of gasoline was $1.16 per gallon. 30 years ago, Hayden Fry was the football coach of the University of Iowa. Jim Walden was the football coach at Iowa State. 30 years ago, anybody remember the number one song? I will always love you. I know a lot of people say I sound like Whitney Houston, but it is what it is. All credit and glory to God. 30 years ago, I would preach in a suit coat every Sunday. And every Sunday morning, I remember asking my wife, which suit coat should I wear? Well, I only had two. You know, it wasn't that hard. You alternate them, right? And every Sunday, preach behind a big wooden pulpit right here on this particular stage. I just want to say that whether you were a charter member at New Hope at that time, whether you are here worshiping with us and you've been a part of this family of believers at some time over the years, whether you're brand new to our fellowship, whether you're watching online and have been doing so for a while. Whether you currently worship here and serve here, oh, thank you for making this a very special family. Only the Lord knows how many thousands, and I mean thousands, of lives have eternally changed through the activities that were described. Purpose-driven life. We had 100 small groups. Celebrate Recovery, Grief Share, Financial Peace University, the children's and programs and activities like Seraph Kids, youth activities, CIY, camp. I mean, the list can go on and on. And lifetime friendships were formed over the past 30 years that are still intact, whether those friends live in Texas or Arizona or Minnesota or somewhere else around the world. That's what happens when people share a bond in Jesus Christ. You know, it's a natural human tendency to look back with fondness over our past. Magazines and newspapers, radio and television programs, even governments will take time in January to look back and reflect over the previous year. Shoot, I'm old enough to remember when we had high school yearbooks. Do some of you remember that? They don't have them these days. And of course, there's a lot of our old church directories, and we don't really do that anymore. I was looking through some of the pictures there from New Hope's past. I was surprised how much younger so many of you looked back in those days. It was amazing. Much has happened in this facility in the 30-year history that we've been here. In April of 2000, we embarked upon a one-Sunday offering of $103,000, a one-time Easter offering for our building addition. We surpassed that. As Tim said, we built the educational wing. 5 months later, we moved into that, debt-free. In November of 2001, New Hope began an upward basketball program for boys and girls, grades 1 through 6. We started that first year in 2001 with 60 kids. Some of the teams only had 3 on the team. That program would eventually require 100 volunteers each year, over 300 participants each year, grades 1 through 6, until COVID derailed it in 2020. In the past 30 years, New Hope has been the home of Noah's Ark Preschool, the Marshalltown Christian School, the New Life Christian Counseling Center. Currently, we have the Restoration Counseling Services here. I remember our first Sunday in this right here. 2 services, we had over 300 people here, January of 1993. Just 7 years later, we had a record attendance of 785 in April of 2000. Just 8 years after that, we had a record Easter with 5 services and 1,471 people in March of 2008. In March of 2007, over 300 individuals and couples and families came forward, each received $100 from the savings and checking account of the church with a kingdom assignment. And each of them went out and nearly 300 kingdom projects all around the central Iowa area as people use their creativity to try and share the seeds of God's love all around our area. It was fantastic. When the tornado swept through Marshalltown in July of 2018 and the derecho wreaked havoc in all of Iowa in August of 2020, I remember this church family showed the love of Jesus Christ to their neighbors, to total strangers, by helping clean up and rebuild and more. And over the years, we have given many, many thousands of dollars to tsunami, tornado, earthquake, hurricane relief. We've sent mission teams to Ecuador, Mexico, Haiti, Jamaica, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Dominican Republic, and so much more. Every year we purchase Christmas gifts for the nursing home residents at Southridge. We've served meals and supplied basic essentials to the House of Compassion, provided overnight monitors at the homeless shelter, sent hundreds of young people to church camp, invested well over $1 million in missions locally throughout Iowa, around the United States, and yes, the world. But God's people must never look back with an attitude of resting on our accomplishments in the past. If we do that, we are no better than the builders of Babel in the Old Testament. God's people must never look back with a longing to return to the past, as did Lot's wife before she turned to a pillar of salt. Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Paul said, "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us." So why do we look back at the past? Is it a sin to be able to look back and reminisce about the past? No. For as Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, the things written about the past are designed to teach us, to prevent us from making the mistakes we once did, to help us recall what mindset and resolve worked in the past, and to give us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God to fulfill the rest of His promises to us. The author of Chronicles says that one of the ways we find strength from the Lord in the present is to remember His faithfulness in the past through the miracles and the wonders that He has performed. So it's beneficial to look back to our past, not with a desire to return, not so that we can be full of pride at what we've accomplished. When we look back to the past, it is a reminder of what God can do. It is a reminder of His faithful presence, even in the midst of our personal and congregational storms. We look back as a reminder that the God who saw us then through anything that we went through is still abiding with His presence in our lives today. In his book entitled The Sacred Journey, Frederick Buchner writes, and I quote, "It is mainly for some clue as to where I am going that I search through where I've been. For some hint as to whom I'm becoming, that I delve into what I used to be." In other words, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven, including a time to look back if we do so with the specific purpose of pressing forward to what God is calling us in the future. It is a confused and chaotic world that we're living in. The more humanity runs away from God, the more humanity demonstrates our need for God. The Apostle Paul reminded his young mentee Timothy, "The church of the living God is the pillar and the foundation of the truth." And what does our world need today? It needs the truth. We have what the world needs. We've been entrusted with what God has commanded us and intends for us to share. The Church of Jesus Christ does not exist to simply take care of our own. And neither does the Church of Jesus Christ exist primarily to meet my needs or to meet your needs. The Church of Jesus Christ has been called out of the world's darkness into the Lord's light so that we might share the Lord's light with those who are still living in darkness. And the moment we dwell on those accomplishments of the past, and the more that we say, "Wow, it was so good, we should go back to that," that's the moment we render ourselves ineffective to meet the challenges of the present and the future. The Australian coat of arms pictures two animals holding it up: the emu, which is a bird that cannot fly, and the kangaroo. Both of those animals are native to Australia. Neither of them can move backwards. The emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall if it tries to walk backwards, and the kangaroo cannot move in reverse because of a large tail. The symbol there is this. The Australian people want to be pictured as always moving forward and never moving backwards. Can we be any different than that? I hope not. On May 6th of 1954, Roger Bannister became the first human being to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Not even 2 months later, John Landy beat Bannister's record by 1.4 seconds. Their accomplishments set up an epic race between the two of them on August 7th of 1954. As they move into the last turn of the last lap, John Landy was in the lead. But as he is nearing and getting closer to the finish line, he's wondering to himself, where in the world is Roger Bannister? How close is Roger Bannister to me? So as John Landy turns to see where Roger Bannister, his competitor, was, Bannister ran right by him, took the lead, and won the race. John Landy later admitted to a reporter from Time magazine, and I quote, "I would have won the race if I hadn't looked back." I watched that video yesterday and cried. Because of the memories and the people and the activities that we have done. But isn't a time to dwell on the accomplishments of the past. I'm here today because 50 years ago, a handful of people got out of their comfort zone and spoke truth into my life. Somewhere in the world right now, people are praying for their family, their loved ones, their relatives, their friends. And those individuals work with you and I. They go to school with us. They live in our neighborhood. And like Queen Esther in the Old Testament, God has strategically placed every one of us, where He has. He has strategically put us in contact with these individuals so that we might be the answer to their loved ones' prayers when we share the truth of the one who eternally changes lives. When the Israelites were leaving Egypt after 400 plus years of living in Egypt, the Bible says, they did so. They left with their fist raised in defiance. We've seen a lot of that, haven't we? After nearly four centuries of slavery and disrespect, the Israelites were walking out of Egypt and into their freedom. Of course they felt emboldened. Of course, they felt defiant as they left Egypt. But oh, how the mindset of the Israelites changed when they looked back and saw the Egyptian chariots bearing down on them. We're going to die. Why did we leave Egypt? It would have been better to remain a slave in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness, in the desert. And I love God's instructions to Moses in that moment, because they are instructions God shares with His people who are living in tumultuous, troubled times today as well. Are you ready? Here's what God said to Moses. Tell the people to get moving. For when they do, all of Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. It is time we get moving. For when we do, the world will know today that our God is Lord. Let us not be worried with what the world may think of us. Let us not be fearful of what the world may do to us. This life is going to soon be over for all of us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the one who endured the pain and the brutality of the cross so that he might secure and prepare a reward for us after this life. It was C.S. Lewis who said, and I quote, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were those who thought most about the next world. All left their marks on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven." I'm ready. Are you? I'm ready not just for heaven, but because of heaven, I'm ready to get moving. In the final conclusion to the Narnia series of books, C.S. Lewis describes the absolute joy when believers are released from this life to spend all of eternity with God. He wrote, "The things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot fully describe them. For us, this life is the end of all stories. For them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read. It goes on forever and ever, and every chapter is better than the chapter before." It is my prayer that God use this body of believers, this family at New Hope, to bring him even more glory in the next 30 years than what he received in the previous 30 years. Steve Green sang it so powerfully. "After all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all that we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey." Here's the reality, my friends. As I look out, I see young parents who are wanting to give their children the same thing that we provided our children. As I look out in the world, I see lonely, hurting people who want the friendships and the fellowship that we enjoy within the body of Jesus Christ. So regardless of where you live, whether you're watching online and you are part of this fellowship and you're living in Texas or Nebraska or Arizona or wherever, regardless of where you serve, whether it's in youth or children, whether it's outreach or pastoral care, regardless of what capacity you serve in, whether it's on staff or as a volunteer, let us heed the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. "My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your service and your work, your labor for the Lord is never, never, ever in vain." Let's pray. Great and eternal Father, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one in whom we live and move and have our very being, the creator of life, the sustainer of life, the redeemer of life. We live for you, God. Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to leave heaven and suffer the pain and the brutality of the cross so that we might have our sins forgiven and live eternally. Holy Spirit, thank you for using people right here among us to share with us the truth that changes lives. It is, God, your will that we desire in our lives, in this congregation. Nothing more than your will, nothing less than your will, and nothing else than your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those of you back to the present, Coffee with Carrie is Wednesday. Bring your mugs with you. It's in the chapel this week. If you were a charter member, and I think we're missing one of the pages of the charter membership, so if your name isn't on the list or there isn't a plaque over there, we have for you, John Andreessen made some really nice plaques for charter members. And if your name isn't over there, let us know, because we'll get some made if you were a charter member. Signed that on January of 1991. But we want to have a picture. So if you could make your way, how about to the front, if you were a charter member, so that we can get your picture taken, that would be great. We've got cupcakes over here. They're out in the Connection Center. I don't know how to say thank you, but may the Lord bless and keep each of us as we strive to serve Him. Thank you for coming to celebrate. Happy birthday, and you're dismissed. God bless you.